Like us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castillo. We welcome back into the studio this week Yvette Landry.
Hello.
Welcome, Yvette. Yvette keeps expanding her artistic career. We talked a bit about it a while ago, last time she was here. Yvette is a really talented singer-songwriter, musician, but also added author to her list. Was it last year?
It was last year. Mm-hmm.
When the children's book came out.
Children's book came out.
I just want to mention that quick and remind me again of the title.
It's called The Ghost Tree, and it's actually nominated this year for Young Reader's Choice, Young Reader's Choice.
And that's what I wanted to talk about. How did that come about, or how did you find that out?
I got an email from the state library, and they sent out a long list, and they said, congratulations, you've made the long list. And I think I'm not exactly sure who submits the titles, but I think maybe just librarians, or maybe any book that's published in Louisiana during a certain period of time is considered. And then it goes to a committee, and the committee chops them down. They go through them one by one. And that's through the state library, and they chop them down, and they choose 10 titles in different groups, and in for the age group that I'm in.
I mean, you made the cut.
I made the cut.
Yeah, because now
I made the cut.
And now, but people, the public votes.
The public can vote, and students vote. I think the students will start voting in August when school starts again.
Okay.
So
if people want to check into that and how they can, I know number one, they can check you out on Facebook.
Yeah, I put a link on Facebook to vote. But I think if you just go to the state library website, you'll have all the information that you need.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the other books too as
Yeah.
So I'm in some good company.
Very nice. You have, you've been very busy. A lot of folks know you with the band Bonsoir Katan.
Right.
Out a new release.
Yeah. It's called Light the Stars, and it's hopping.
Now, where did you guys record that?
We recorded it at Joel's.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, at Valcor. Well, that's not his studio name. I forget what his studio name is. But over there in Eunice.
Yeah.
In the fields. Yeah.
He doesn't do savoir-faire, does he?
Is it savoir-faire? Yeah,
it is savoir-faire.
That's
what it's called. Yeah. Very nice.
It's on the Valcor label, though.
Yeah. So you've been pretty busy.
I've been.
And your latest CD, which we're going to spend today really talking about, is Me and Tico's Country.
That's right.
Let's talk about that title first.
All right. So Richard Como is a dear friend of mine from Brobridge. We went to school together, and we play music together. He's in my—
– Oh, I didn't know that the history went back. Okay. Very nice.
Yeah. And it's really funny if we want to talk just a little bit about that. I knew Richard as an athlete, as a tennis player. There was a tennis court. The city tennis court was right across the street from my house growing up. So I used to go out and play tennis, and I was always looking for somebody to play tennis. And Richard was an excellent tennis player. So we used to play tennis together. And the whole time that we were playing tennis together, he was a musician, but I kind of just like, he plays some instrument over there.
But
I didn't really know him as a musician. He was just some guy that played music. And after graduation, we kind of lost touch. And when Bonsoir went into the studio to record their first CD, Dirk or somebody mentioned, man, you know what would sound really good on this song would be a steel guitar. That would sound really good. Anybody know anybody like that? And I was kind of fairly new into the music scene, so I'm just kind of racking my brain. And then I went, you know, there was this guy I used to go to high school with that I think he might have played the steel guitar. So I looked him up in the phone book, in the Brobridge phone book, and it's listed as Richard Tico Como in the phone book.
Oh, that's how it's listed, Richard Tico.
And so I called him up, and I'm there, hey, T, you know, Yvette, da-da-da, and all this stuff. But what I didn't realize is, and I asked him, I said, are you still playing steel guitar? But what I didn't realize was that all of those years, in those years, he had signed a contract in Nashville. He had toured. He had done the big old thing. He had music videos on CMT and all this stuff. And here I am calling him going, do you still play?
Do you still play?
Yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of how we connected.
That's great history,
though. We reconnected. And And so what we do, he recorded on my first two CDs, and he's in my full band, which includes Dr. Joseph Butts and Bo Thomas and my son Trevor and myself and Richard Como. But we also do this little two-person group on Thursday nights at Buck and Johnny's. And every time we say something, people will say, well, who's playing? And I'll say, just me and T.
Yeah, you know?
And so when it came time to think about a title for the CD, first we thought of just me and T, but his name is really T. Coe.
So, yeah.
So we say, well, let's just go with that, me and T. Coe.
That's very cool.
And it's our country. This is our stuff.
This is what
we're talking about. This is what we do.
Who would come out ahead on the tennis court back then?
Him. But I'd give him a run for his money.
Yeah.
He's a lefty. He's a sneaky little sucker.
But isn't that great, though, that, I mean, when you, like, who would have known?
Who would have known?
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
All those years ago.
Yeah.
So that's the title. The other thing I do want to ask you about is when you list your contact information, you have a title, SoCo.
Yeah, SoCo Publishing.
Yeah,
SoCo Music.
That's you.
That's me.
Where did that name come from?
My grandfather, my mom's dad, actually, gave me that name when I was born. There's a little seed that's a little black seed, and it's called a SoCo seed. I don't know if it's from a muscadine vine or I'm not exactly sure what it is. But when I was born, my eyes were dark, dark, dark. And he used to call me SoCo because my eyes reminded him of the little SoCo seed. So when it was time for me to come up with a name for my publishing company, I thought that was kind of cool.
It's very cool. But interesting. Okay. That answers that question. All right. Get the titles out of the way. That's very nice. I like that.
Thanks.
SoCo. All right. We're going to have you play. People are in for a treat today because Yvette is going to play a couple things live, and then we're going to listen to some cuts off the CD. But let's talk before you play a little bit about the concept for this CD because – what you had put out before had been really focused on pieces that you wrote.
Right.
And this one is kind of going in the other direction.
Yeah. And this one, we wanted something, Richard and I wanted something to show what we sounded like when we play live. Mm. Here's what we do. We play some of my stuff that we write. We actually play a lot of the songs that I write.
Yeah.
But a lot of the songs that I wrote were, you know, we recorded it with a full band. And I like listening to it like that. And,
yeah.
and it takes on a whole different personality when you
sure.
have a full band. And so we started playing stuff. And I love old country. You know, when you start talking about Patsy Cline and Ernest Tubb and Buck Owens and all those guys. And Richard loves that too. So it was just a natural fit when we started playing stuff. You know, we originally started with just my music that I had written. And then, you know, we were doing 2 and 3 hours a night. So we were coming up with some other songs. And I started doing some Patsy Cline and, like I said, some Buck Owens. And just, you know, he'd say, well, you ever sang this song? He said, man, I love this. And people would come up to us and say, can you do the Tennessee Waltz or can you do this? And no, but I'll go learn it. So we have a nice little following of people who come and listen to us every week. And so it's sort of a combination of the songs that I like, the songs that he likes, and the songs that people sort of request.
Yeah.
That became our repertoire over there. So when we went into the studio, we wanted to do something. It was twofold. We wanted to have something that represented what we did so that if somebody asked, we could say, well, here, this is what we sound like. This
sure.
is what we sound like live.
Yeah.
This is what we do. And then the other aspect was to put the focus on Richard because he is he's a Louisiana, Acadiana treasure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy is super
very
talented.
Well respected.
He's very well respected. And he's recorded on hundreds of recordings over the last. As a matter of fact, he just turned 53 on Sunday, and he started when he was 13. So he's been playing and recording for quite some time.
We should get him on.
And yeah, I really should. You could, oh my God, he could keep you entertained for a while. But, you know, on all of those recordings that he's been on, he gets a little ride here, gets a little ride there, and he's sort of in the mix with everybody else. But
sure.
he doesn't have a project where you could really he could really do what he does best. Mm-hmm. And he can play all that fancy stuff, and technically he's just top-notch. But he's also very he's very subtle, and he's a master of knowing when to play, when not to play, when to play undertones, mm-hmm. when to do, you know, all of this stuff. And so for me, I wanted it to be more about him and mm-hmm. and putting the spotlight on him and giving him something that he could be proud of and that he could do. So we went into Tony Daigle's studio one Friday night at about 7 o'clock, and he said, Betsy, that's what he calls me. He said, Betsy, we're going to do it just like we do it on Thursday nights. He said, we're going to do it live. And he pulled out a 12-pack of beer, and he goes, just like we do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, he drank a couple, and we just warmed up. And basically what you hear is a live recording. We recorded all of those tracks in less than – in about 5 hours.
Wow.
We did the whole CD. And it was just him and myself and Tony Daigle and – a microphone for me and my guitar, and he had his little amp, and he was mic'd through there, and we just sat down and drank and played.
Very cool.
And that was it.
Well, you know, you mentioned Tennessee Waltz. Let's listen to that one first, okay?
Yeah,
as long as you talked about that. Well, let's listen to it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it afterwards.
All right.
This is the Tennessee Waltz.
Dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. Yes, I know just how much I love. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing that beautiful Tennessee waltz.
It doesn't get any better than that. That's the Tennessee Waltz, and that's actually the first cut. And when you put that CD in, boy, I'll tell you, that song grabs it. You nail that.
Thank you.
It's just fabulous, and I've said that to you before. But now you were telling me a little bit why we were playing the song. You learned that. Your mom wanted you to learn that song.
Yeah. She had asked me once before if I knew it, and I said no, and I sort of forgot about it. And she asked me a second time, and Richard said, you know, you really ought to learn that song. It's a great song. So I went, and, you know, some songs, you sing it and you go, I don't think I can pull that one off. But for some reason, that one, it grabbed me.
Yeah.
And she said that her and my dad used to listen to it, and they used to like it a lot, and he's since passed. So
yeah.
I thought I'd make it, I'd give it a shot, and
that's what came
out.
That's right. You know, I do want to talk to you about some things that you and I were discussing while the song was playing. Because with it just being the two of you, and I was embarrassed because I didn't catch that at first when I first listened to the CD. And now I don't feel as bad because you talked about working with Tony Daigle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he described how it was such a full sound that you forget it's just the two people.
Right. And there's been several people sort of in the business that have mentioned that it's such a full sound. Just sort of the way that I play the guitar, it kind of gives that snare drum, and it's got that beat and the bass to it, which is, you know, just – Richard tells me all the time, you don't even know what you're doing. You're just doing it. You don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then he fills in everything else.
Uh-huh.
And so when you listen to it, you don't really think that it's just two people.
Yeah.
And Tony, initially, when we went into the studio after we recorded the songs, he said, you know, when you called me and told me who was coming in to do this, I thought, well, it's going to be good. You know, I mean, it's Richard Como and whatever. It's going to be good. But I just figured, you know, two people, a guitar and a steel guitar, it's going to sound kind of empty.
Mm.
And he just said he was blown away by the fullness of the sound.
Yeah. And it doesn't – and even, you know, before you started singing, it's just – you're not playing – it's just him. It's just the steel guitar, or are you also
– No, I'm playing as well.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, okay. And you know, I don't have the trained kind of ear that – it's hard to
– distinguish.
Yeah.
But it just works. Whatever it is, it just works. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, it's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
So these are songs that you, the two of you – because that's the other question I had. So if it's the two songs that the two of you play quite a bit, you know, when you're out – because I thought, gosh, with so many, there's so many great old, like, country standards, you know, was it difficult to narrow that down to?
I don't think so. Just because we didn't go into this right out of the shoot. We'd been playing over there together as a two-piece for a little over a year, probably about a year and a half. And when you play together that much, there are some songs that just take on a life of their own. And they're just a little bit, you know, all of the stuff that we do is good, but they're just a little bit better than the rest. And because it just, you feel it more.
Yeah.
For me anyway. And I think for him as well. And so we just came up with a list of songs. And it was really interesting because I said, you come up with a list and I'll come up with a list. And then, you know, we'll go through and We'll vote if we have to. We'll flip a coin if we have to and pick. And our lists were, I mean, identical.
It had the same songs?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a trip.
Yep.
Huh.
So there was one song I think I had that he vetoed, and which was fine because we had enough already.
Yeah.
If there was one that we had to drop, I would have probably said, yeah, that's one. Let's not do that one.
So when you go into learning, you know, really a standard like Tennessee Waltz, how does that process work for you? Is there a certain version of it you wanted to look up, or the original, or how?
No,
how do
I think
you do that?
Somewhere in the back of my head, or if I'm driving around and I'll hear it, and I usually when I listen to music when I'm driving, and so if I hear a song, I'll go, oh, you know, Bucket's Got a Hole in It. I remember that one. I like it, you know. So I'll look up the words somewhere, kind of have the melody in my head, and then I just. You know, sing it like I sing it. Because I don't want to try and be Patsy Cline, or I don't want to try and be, you know, Hank Williams. I just like the song, so I kind of try and make it my own and bring it to the table. And you know, there was one song we did the other day. maybe it was I Fall to Pieces. I think if you listen to the original, it's quite a bit faster than the way that I did it. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really knew that I had – I think I had heard it, but I hadn't listened to the original version in a long time. And yeah. when I heard it, it kind of floored me. I went, whoa, that's really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And vice versa. You know, there's some songs that are much faster and are a different you know, sometimes we'll put more of a – the way that I strum the guitar puts more of a swing beat to it than – the straight, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 stuff
that's
that you
right.
get on
But that keeps
music.
Your stamp on it.
Yeah, I think so. Because I'm not trying to be any of these, you know, and neither is you know, Richard. We're just trying to do our own little thing.
Exactly. You have two, and I just want to tell people, if you're just joining us, my guest in the studio today is Yvette Landry, and we're going to get a treat. Because she is going to do a couple live. You did put a couple of original tunes on here.
I did. I put a couple of tunes, and I had a bunch more. I mean, I probably had enough songs for a whole nother CD of originals. But
next project.
Next project, maybe. But these two songs, I think, just fit in with the rest of the songs that we had chosen. And I don't think when you listen to them right off the bat that you would think – somebody wrote them, you know, just within the last few months mm-hmm. or the mm-hmm. last year, you know. I think you would go back and say, wait, who did that song?
That's right.
And I've had a couple of people say, ask me that. And who did that song originally? Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I felt that it didn't take away from the project. I felt that it just sort of fit right in. And I wanted to put a little bit of me in
That's
there,
right.
too.
That's so. Right. Do you have a preference of which one you'd like to do first?
Well, you want happy or sad because they're the extremes. And one is, I think, the happiest song I wrote, and one I think is the saddest song.
Well, let's do happy.
We're going to do happy?
And then we'll bring everybody down for the afternoon.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, do the happy one.
We'll do the happy one. Okay. Would you like to spend the night together and hold me in your arms all night long? Would you like to spend the night together? Together forever all night long. Would you like to spend forever together and look me in the eye when I love you? Would you like to spend forever together? Together forever I do. Forever together I love you.
Beautiful.
That's my happy song.
That's Yvette Landry and Together Forever, and that's off of her new CD, Me and Tico's Country, and one of the two original songs that you did on that. How long ago did you write that song?
Probably about maybe 9 months ago or so, 10 months ago.
What was the process for that one? Was it a long process? Or did that one come to you pretty quick?
That's it. Yeah, it's pretty quick. That was probably a 10-minute song.
Wow.
Yeah. that's a sit down and the channel was open, sit down and write.
Yeah.
And I wrote that for a special person.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's that always blows me away when you don't have – you know, that certain kind of talent, that something like that would come together in, you know, 10 minutes. But
well,
when it's there, it's there, huh?
I taught a songwriting class over here at the university one time, and that was probably the most stressful time in my life because I thought, you know, I've written 40-something songs, but I don't know how to write a song.
Yeah. Was that for Mark's program?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the
process – that's interesting. I've written for – but I have no idea how to write a song.
No idea how to write a
song. Yeah, because you never really had to slow down and put together what the step was.
No,
yeah.
The process for me is I get an idea in my head and then I go, oh, I need to go get my guitar. And I get my guitar and I get a pencil and paper and then 10, 15, 20 minutes later I have a song.
Okay, class done.
And then, you know, and I'm like, well, what am I going to – how am I going to teach this, you know?
So how did you?
Well – We did a bunch of different exercises in the class where we would, I gave them different things that they could do to try and address because not everybody's going to write like me. Somebody mm-hmm. might be able to sit down and say, okay, I need a chorus, I need a verse, I need this, I need, you know, and do all kind of stuff. So I had different activities. I did some research. I called some friends who teach some songwriting classes and – and we tried to hit all of the different ways that might be possible. And then, you know, I think the big part was to define a song.
Yeah.
You know, even going down to that is what exactly is a song? How do you define a song? Are you a songwriter if you strictly write lyrics? Because there are songwriters in Nashville who do nothing but write lyrics.
That's right.
And so it was interesting. It was actually the first semester that the class was offered. So there was a lot of defining, you know, what do we want to do here?
You know?
So, and it came out really – it was fun. It was very fun. But
it always intrigues me just – you know, I'm around a lot of creative people and have been for years and a lot of musicians and songwriters. And it always kind of, mystifies me when I think about the people in – like when you mentioned in Nashville who their job is – I mean they go – they go to work like 9 to 5.
9 to 5 and write songs.
Yeah.
That's a whole different ballgame than what I've experienced.
And I'm not quite sure of, you know, it is – that's that if it is a creative process, I mean, you are creating, but mm-hmm. it's a whole different creative process from the majority of the people I know.
Right. And they do
artists.
A lot of collaborations too.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of brainstorming and you've got a lot more minds working together, whereas if you're at home by yourself, you know, kind of thinking this through or
that just the moment that it comes to you. You pull out your phone or whatever and record, you know. Yeah, I'm always a bit intrigued, like, how does that happen?
It happened on the other original song that I put on here that I'm going to do a little bit later, but I was maybe I should wait to tell that story.
No, go
but
ahead.
I can tell you anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was actually cooking supper for my son. He was coming to visit, and I was browning some meat on the stove, and I had been having this image of a dusty Bible in my head, and I had sort of filed it in the back of my mind that, you know, that might make a cool song to say something about a dusty Bible or something like that. So I'm frying the meat up on the stove, and all of a sudden it's that moment where you can't even define it, but you just go – I go get my guitar. So I went in my room and I got the guitar. I don't even know why I was going to get it really, other than maybe I had a little thought and I want to try and do that. And the next thing I know, the smoke alarms are going off. I had a song. It was written. I was done, but the house was about to burn down. I mean, flames were coming up and it was just crazy. But that's the process for me. And I'm fortunate and blessed in that way. But that's how
but
it
goes.
But you
have to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
When it happens.
When it happens, it just comes.
Yeah.
A lot of the ideas, though, come when I'm riding in the car. Not the whole songs, but just the idea of where I'm going to go with it.
Which that, you know, in a lot of studies that have been done about when people are able to get into a state, whether that's a state of relaxation that adds to that creativity, the car, mm-hmm. the shower, the tub,
mm-hmm.
and as people are just kind of going off to sleep.
Right.
That, you know, those are three places that come up quite frequently.
Yeah. And when I would drive to work, I work in Cairncrow now, and before I was working in Cade. So I would always take the back road. So there was not a whole lot of traffic, not a whole lot of stress, you know, people cutting in front of you and blowing the horn, all that stuff. So it was a time where I could get into that space and my brain would just go off. And,
that's right.
Yeah. So.
Let's talk about your son playing with you. Now, he's not, you know, he did on one song.
Yeah,
on
he's
here,
on he's on the
but
on the bonus
track. In your full band.
He is, and I don't know if you can't
Trevor.
See me right now, but I'm just
she's
like
grinning
puffing
ear
up
ear.
Like a bullfrog right now. He's 21. He turned 21 on April 30th, which was the day before we played at Jazz Fest.
Okay.
And
This year.
Yeah. And I did threaten his life and said, you may not go blow out 21 the day before Jazz Fest, you know. And he didn't. And when we were on stage, the very last song that we do as a full band, I introduce each member of the band and each one kind of takes a little solo.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I saved Trevor for last, and I mean, there were thousands of people there. It was so cool. We were on the big jumbotrons and everything.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, y'all, you know, here's my proud mama moment, you know, on the drums. He turned 21 yesterday, my son Trevor Landry. And when I said that, when I tell you, 10,000 people's arms just went up into the air and everybody was just like, what? It was just one of the proudest moments of my life. But he actually got a couple of write-ups in the papers in New Orleans for his performance. He's 21, so I'm excited, and I'm there. Oh my God, can you believe this? And I sent him the link to the article, and I called him, you know, two or three times, and he finally answered. And I said, Did you read it? And he said, No. I said, Go read it. And so he went, and he called me back, and I said, Well, what do you think? And he goes, Cool.
He's 21.
He's 21. Yeah. So I don't think he gets it, but my band members, like I said, you know, Richard and Bo and Joseph have been playing
a
very long time, and after every gig that we play, each one of them will come up to me and tell me, you know, that he just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah.
And he's just a natural. He's got it.
Did you have to talk him into it at all to play with
No,
he's
not at all.
He's pretty receptive to
it. I had to talk him into playing with us when the Rhythm Devils were playing, because I'm also part of the Rhythm Devils, and we played every Wednesday night at Randall's for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I bought him a set of drums in the fourth grade because I knew he was – I mean, it's genetic. We've got a ton of drummers in my family, and that kid never – there was never a moment where there wasn't some kind of stick or pencil or – something in his hand. So I said, well, let's make the most of this. So I got him a set of drums, and he'd bang away on them, you know, and it was noise for quite some time, I got to tell you. But I wanted him to come play at Randall's with us and sit in. It was a safe place, you know. He could, you know, work his way in. And,
that's right.
Man, he never wanted to do it. And I'd make him do it a couple of times. And then one time we were in a bind, and our drummer got sick right before the gig. And so I called him, and I said, look, you don't have a choice. We're stuck. You need to come. I said, the drums are already set up. All you got to do is show up. We even have sticks here. Just come. And so so he came, and, I mean, he was moping. I guess he was about 16 maybe, 17. I think my mom brought him. I don't remember. But he came, and he played the gig, and, I mean, he was pouting the whole time. I mean, he did great, you know, but he was pouting the whole time. He could have been doing something else.
Yeah.
And at the end, Randy went and paid him. And he looked at Randy and he goes, are you serious? And Randy goes, yeah, you know. So a couple of weeks later, he said, Mom, just, you know, if ever, if I said, oh,
yeah,
now that you're getting paid, you know, you want to play. But, so he sat in with us a few times with the Rhythm Devils. And I believe he played a gig with us with Bonsoir Catan. I think he might have even did... he helped out Corey Ledee one time at the Whiskey River and a couple of, you know, Cajun bands. And he's a really good Cajun drummer.
Yeah.
And I had Glenn Fields playing with me, and Daniel Kulik was my bass player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're in the Revelers and the Ramblers, and they had their own thing going, and they were just sort of helping me out. And I started thinking, well, I really need to find somebody to take their place, because I was starting to get busier and they couldn't make it. And so we found Joseph Butts over here at UL, and I was thinking—
That's a talented guy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He is incredible and such a great guy, too. Yeah. I mean, he's amazing. And I started thinking, well, who am I going to get to be a drummer? And as I'm thinking this, I'm like, be quiet, Trevor. I can't think. I can't think, you know, because he's playing in the room. And I just said, if you want to audition, I'll let you audition. But, you know, it's just not a you're not in kind of thing. And so we had a gig at the Blue Moon. And so
that's a great life lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not it definitely. I mean, when you're playing with somebody of, you know, with the caliber of players
right.
that are with me, you got to be able mm-hmm. to do it. So that's basically what I told him. And I honestly didn't think he was going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
I said, all right, so we've got a drummer who's never played with a band before other than a couple of times at Randall's.
Yeah.
We've got a bass player, and we didn't have time to practice. So this was a spur of the moment. You know, we're going to meet here. Good
Let's
luck.
Do
you
it.
Know,
yeah.
Holy water, here we go. And he blew me away, and he blew Richard away, and he blew Bo away. And you know, he had it. And I said, well, you're hired. And so then there was the whole talk about, okay, when this guitar is on me, I'm your boss. I'm not your mama.
Yeah, yeah.
kind of thing. So
but those talks need to happen.
We did, you know. And once we had that, you know, there was – he's just – it's been great. It's been great. And, I mean, it's fun for me because, I mean, I didn't want to hang out with my mom when I was 21.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so I get to see him and we get to experience this music thing together, which is just phenomenal.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a cool story. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at krvs.org. Very easy to continue to support this station as we are publicly supported. You can there's a donate button on there. It's a safe, secure website. You can click that any time of the year and continue to help us out. You can also always just call the station, too, and that's 482-KRVS. To talk to some folks here about how you can continue to help out the station. My guest in the studio today, Yvette Landry, has a new CD out, Me and T. Coe's Country, which features a number of country standards, beautiful, beautiful songs. We just heard a little bit ago one of the originals. Mm-hmm. And how about if we hear the next one?
Oh, you want to hear the next one?
Yeah.
All right. This is the
this
one.
This is a beautiful song. Sad, I know, but
yeah.
But it's beautiful.
Thank you. This is the one where I almost burnt my house down.
Can you tell us a little bit about the story?
Well,
that came to you for this?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where I heard the term "dusty Bible." I don't remember if it was somebody talking, if I read something somewhere, but for some reason I had that those two words in the back of my mind, and I just thought that would make a good song. And then, like I said, I was cooking supper that night, and I just had this feeling that I needed to go and pick up my guitar, and I did. And what came out shocked me, because I think when I was thinking about a dusty Bible, I don't really know. It was more along the drinking, you know. I was thinking I was going to go in that direction.
Sure, yeah.
And when I picked up my guitar, you'll hear what came out, and it was – I don't even know where it came from. And actually, I use a girl's name in there, and the girl's name is Clelia. And Clelia is a friend of mine, and I hadn't thought of her in months.
Yeah.
But when I was writing, that's the name that came to me, and I used it. And I called her up, and I said, hey, Clay. I said, I wrote a song, and your name's in it. I said, it's not about you or anything. It's just your name. And I said, would you mind me using it? And she said, well, do you mind if I hear the song first? And I said, sure. So I recorded it on my phone, and I sent it to her, and she called me back crying, and she was there. Yes, please
it.
Do.
Yeah, so. All right. So this, the name of this song then is Memories of Clelia. This is Yvette Landry.
On one hand, there's a Bible, the other beer. The Bible is dusty. I ain't touched it in years. And a pistol with one shot is touching my head. There's a million good reasons
dresser in a white princess frame is a picture of Clelia. That's all that remains. A little girl taken long before her time. It's been 3 long years since my little girl's gone. The doctors, they told us that the angels would come. And those smiling brown eyes, they looked up at me and said, "Dad, don't you worry, Mama's waiting for me." There on the dresser in a white princess frame is a picture of Clelia. It's all that remains. A little girl taken long before her time. And memories of Clelia dance through my mind. Yes, the memories of Clelia dance through my mind.
Yeah, it's for, you know what I think about? That's for all the Clelias out there.
There you go, you know? All the Clelias.
It's interesting when I think of folks that write songs, write poems, write short stories about experiences that they themselves have not experienced.
Yeah.
You know, but that emotion is right there as if.
Yeah. I most of the songs that I've written, I've either experienced it in some sort of way or witnessed somebody else going through something like that. But this is one that I haven't. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah,
it was
beautiful,
a gift.
Beautiful song. You know, another song that has really gotten some notice is a song that wasn't just you and Richard Como.
Right, this is our bonus track.
That's right. And it has really taken a life on, you know, through social media.
Yeah.
And the video of it. It's your version of I'm Leaving It Up to You. Let's talk about who you used on it and how that came together.
Okay, so it came together. I was supposed to have a gig at the Blue Moon with my band, and Richard Como was not going to be able to play, and it was supposed to be the CD release party, and he double booked or something happened. I don't remember what it was. So I started thinking, how am I going to replace Richard Como? Well, who do you go to? You go to Roddy Romero.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I asked him if he would play, and he said, sure. So he came over to the house a couple of days before just to kind of go through some of the songs, and I said, well, you are going to sing, right? I mean, I can't have Roddy Romero standing next to me and him not sing.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, yeah, I mean, if you want me to, sure, I'll do it. He said, but I really think we should do something together. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, man, he said, I love this song. It's an old Dale and Grace song, and I'd love to do it. So we rehearsed it at the house, and we did the gig at the Blue Moon, and nothing turned out like it was supposed to, and we didn't play the song. And so when I told him I was going in to do a CD with Richard, and he said, you know, we really should put this song down. We really should record this song. He said, I've been wanting to do it, and I never really found the right person, but he said, I'd really like to record it with you. And he said, and I have this great idea. He said, you know, we've done a lot of recording at La Louisiane, at La Lou, and he said, this song was originally recorded at La Lou in 1963.
Oh, very cool.
And he said, it's the only number one song to come out of Acadiana. Wouldn't it be cool if we went in and we recorded in the same place? He said, they got the same equipment, the same mics, the same instruments. We could do it this exact same way that they recorded it, you know, live with no overdubs and whatever, and just do it. So I said, well, I'm in. That'd be great. He said, well, you know, Eric Adcock you know, Eric will do it with me. And I said, well, I'll get Joseph and Trevor and we'll do it like that, you know. And so he said, fantastic. So he set it up. And meanwhile, Eric Adcock called me and he said, you know, Yvette, he said, we really ought to record this for, you know, just for posterity. He said, somebody needs to record this. So I'm thinking, you know, gosh, I don't really have money to pay for a videographer. And I'm also a school teacher by day.
Yeah.
So I had a 17-year-old student who they record themselves riding motorcycles all the time. They've got the GoPro all the stuff. So I said, well, you know, I just want somebody to come and record it. I really didn't have in mind of creating a video other than just footage that we could have. And so I went to school and I said, his name is Braden Vanway. And I said, Braden, what you doing tomorrow night? And, you know, 17.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I said, well, you think maybe you and your brother would want to come and video us? We're going in the studio and record a song. And he's like, okay. So I said, look, I'll buy you supper. So they came in, him and his older brother Sullivan came in, and they recorded it. And I literally thought, I said, whenever we get the song, I'll give you the song, and you can just put the little snippets of video to the song. And when he sent it to me, it was just, I mean, I was blown away.
Boy, they did a great
job. He did
an
incredible job. And it cost me a root beer and some chips and salsa, basically, is what the price of the video was. But, I mean, they love doing it, and yeah, they actually came up with a video. Yeah, so it's a 17- and 19-year-old who did my video for me.
And, you know, really, it's that age that really understands use of that equipment.
Exactly. You know, some of the shots that they took were amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, I was really impressed. And so, again, we went in, no rehearsal, no nothing. And I think it was Eric's idea to dress up. And so I said, well, let's just, you know, let's go old school. So we kind of put on some suits and I wore a dress and a little bit of jewelry and we got on that microphone. And I mean, it was very interesting how we had to, you know, he wasn't using the technology that we have now. He was using the technology that was back then. So we had to do We had to do it a couple of times so that, you know, and find I had to be much closer to the mic than Roddy when we were singing so that the balance of the voices, you know, we'd have a good balance there. And, you know, and we worked it out in the studio and we practiced it a couple of times. And at first I thought I was just going to be singing harmony to Roddy. And we did a couple of takes like that. And then somebody said, well, you need to sing a verse. And I said, oh, no, I don't need to sing a verse. I don't even, no. And they said, nope, that's what this song needs. You need to sing a verse. So I got a piece of paper and I wrote down some lyrics and we had a music stand and we went a couple of times. And it's one of those things where there's no overdubbing. So if you mess up, you got to do the whole thing again.
Yeah.
You know, and so we did a couple of takes with it, with me singing. And I think that either the third or fourth time, everybody just looked up and they said,
"Got it.
A wrap.
Yeah.
It's good to go.
Let's listen. This is I'm leaving it up to you. And it's Yvette Landry with Roddy Romero, Eric Adcock. Who else played?
Dr. Joseph Butts and Trevor Landry.
All right.
I'm leaving it up to you. Understand. What have I? That's why I'm leaving it up to you.
My guest in the studio today, Yvette Landry, doing I'm Leaving It Up to You with Roddy Romero, Eric Adcock, Dr. Joseph Butts, and Trevor Landry.
That was so much fun.
Fabulous.
I can't even tell you.
People can watch it too, because really the video of it, and I just love that it's the students that did it. It's really taken on a life.
It has.
Through social media.
It has.
If people can go to your Facebook page, but if they just go and search it.
Yeah, it's actually – if you go to my website, it's the very first video on my website, which is YvetteLandry.com.
Yeah.
And you can also search YouTube. Just look up Yvette Landry and Roddy
Romero.
It's
fun.
It is fun.
You know, I mean, to watch it. It's just one of those experiences that people have that you just – you can't help but be in a good mood.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I just want to give props to Roddy again because he was so fun to work with in the studio. I was very nervous when they said, you need to sing a verse, because I had never sang a verse before. I had only done the harmony.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a chance to practice, and we were in there, you're on the clock and all this other kind of stuff. And he was just such a good vocal coach and a calming presence in that room. You know, he made everybody feel really comfortable.
Yeah.
And it was just such a great experience.
Had they, Roddy and Eric, had they recorded on their last thing, had they used some of the old equipment on that, didn't they?
I think so.
They did. So
I
they,
think so.
I mean, they had some experience using the.
Yeah. And David Rashu is over there, and he does an incredible job. And matter of fact, when you walk into the studio, there's a photo album, and you can see all of the people that have recorded there. And we all were looking at the photo of Dale and Grace.
Yeah.
You know, before we went in and did that. So that was fun.
Yeah. Very nice. Again, to remind people, the CD is Me in Tico's Country. You can check it out on Yvette's website, which is Yvette, and that's Y-V-E-T-T-E, Landry.com. She also has a great presence on Facebook, but her other CDs are on there also.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed you have those listed, and also there's information about your book, Ghost Tree,
it's all on the website, yeah.
Are you doing any writing now, not music writing, but...
I have, yeah. I've written, believe it or not, I've written several poems lately.
Ah.
That was a new thing that's kind of taken a life on itself. And then I've also written a second book.
Very cool.
But I haven't quite finished it yet. And I've been so busy with all this other stuff that... I haven't had a chance to really put the finishing touches on that, but I'm excited about
it. We won't
that.
Talk about what it's about, but is it another children's or is it?
It's another children's
okay.
book, and I'm debating whether or not I want it to be a picture book like my last one was, because
yeah.
I had such an incredible Cullen Bernard
yeah.
was the illustrator, and he was just incredible.
Yeah.
And it's the same style story. It's
yeah.
a kind of... Cajun scary folk tale, I guess you'd call it. I'm thinking about maybe doing it into a chapter book for just a little bit older age.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's one of those things when it's ready to come, it'll come.
That's right.
Yeah.
The poems that you're writing, how was it decided that it's poems and not a song?
Because I was sitting on my swing and all I had was I had no desire to go pick up my guitar.
Ah,
it was just
okay.
pick up the pencil and paper and write. And I've made friends with the poet laureate from Indiana. His name is Norbert.
Norbert was on.
Norbert, yeah. You sure did.
Yeah, talented guy.
Isn't he incredible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his new book is wow.
That's
I don't
right.
even know where to go with that.
Yeah.
But, he looked at some of them.
That's
I
Catholic Boy Blues.
Yeah, Catholic Boy Blues. Yeah.
So he looked at some of it for you.
Yeah, and he did, and he gave me some nice words of praise, which is
wonderful.
Kind of, yeah. It's very scary to give your work to somebody who knows what they're doing.
That's right. Yeah, that would be intimidating.
Very.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to see you perform live around the area?
Well, typically, if I'm not out of state, Richard and I are at Buck and Johnny's every Thursday night from 7 to 9. And then full band, it's sort of sporadic. And, you know, here or there, festivals or sometime in Blue Moon. And, you know, you can also catch me with Bonsoir Catin and Balfa du Jour and sometimes Lafayette Rhythm Devils.
There you go. And best place to go, YvetteLandry.com, to find out
absolutely
where she's going to be. Yvette, it was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
It'll be interesting to see now what comes out. Now we know about the poetry.
Yeah.
You know, there may be some readings coming out this next year.
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know.
Please check out again the CD, Me and Tico's Country. We are going to go out, a friend of yours, Caleb Clotter, is who wrote this one. And this is Can I Go Home With You? Everybody have a good week.
So Brett was standing on a subway platform, sees a stranger walking from person to person, saying to each one, "You, you're in. You, out. You, you can stay." The guy's not violent, doesn't make anybody actually leave, but silly as it sounds,
I found that you can't help but kind of hope that he gives you the thumbs up when your turn comes.
That and other stories about the kindness of strangers this week on This American Life.
Coming up at its new time, Wednesday night at 7.
I'm Poppy Tooker, host of Louisiana Eats. Tune in Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. for your weekly serving on KRVS 88.7 FM, listener-supported public radio for Acadiana.
KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.